Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Good morning. Are you excited about today? You should be. On a day like today, it's so beautiful outside. In the early church, people were so excited for the Sunday after Easter. Easter was the remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection. It was all about resurrection. But the following Sunday was Baptism Sunday, a Sunday where people were able to say, I want that in my life. I want to be a part of that. I want that life to come into me and transform me from the inside out. And so today we gather not to just kind of go through the motions. Today we're going to remember our baptism, but it's not just to say, well, let's just kind of go through the motions. Let's kind of get this over with and move on to other things that we have to do today. Today is a joyful time when we kind of say, this is who I am. This is the family that I have chosen to become a part of. If you look through different theology books and you talk about different ways people perceive baptism, there are different thoughts about how baptism plays out. One school of thought says baptism is something that whenever you as an adult have kind of grown and matured and you said, I have decided to become a Jesus follower, then baptism is for you an act of obedience. You should be baptized when you have reached that point where you understand what God is doing in resurrection. You said, I want that new life. I now choose to be baptized. That's one school of thought. The burden of baptism falls on you. When you have gotten to that point, you choose baptism. One school of thought. In the United Methodist Church, the school of thought that we have always adhered to is baptism is a means of grace. Baptism isn't something that you have achieved. It's not a status symbol. It's not something that you can say, I have now arrived. I understand what God is doing. I now choose to be baptized. In our theology, it is a gift that God has given to you. It is God reaching into your life to transform you. It is what we call a means of grace. And grace is always God-initiated. On a beautiful day like today, the sunshine, the beautiful weather, the colors are grace. They're a calling out to you. Have you been aware of what's going on around you? God saying, wake up. There's beauty all around for those that will see. Baptism is God asking you or inviting you into an awakening life. That's why we, as a church, we celebrate when we have an infant baptism. Because there's no better analogy, there's no better image that we can consider than taking a small infant child, just this kind of pile of flesh that's kind of squirming around, barely knows who mom and dad are, and yet God comes and says, I claim this child. As it grows, it partners with the parents and with the church and says, I will pour out my grace until this child can accept for himself. It is God doing something on your behalf. And so when we celebrate and we renew our baptism covenant, it is a reminder that God from years ago has had a calling on your life and has been ever drawing you into this place. Soren Kierkegaard was a theologian and a philosopher, and he often considered our faith journey in this analogy. He said, imagine for a moment that you had been born as a child to a king and queen, making you a prince or a princess in a kingdom far away. You had royal blood pumping through your veins. You had a long lineage of nobility of courage and of a wonderful legacy. But as an infant, something happened. Something horrible had happened, and you had been kidnapped out of that kingdom by a band of roving gypsies. And you had been raised to know the gypsy lifestyle. And hopefully we don't have any gypsies in here that I'm offending right now. But you had learned to try and scrounge and dig, to try and survive, to try and get a leg up on everybody else. Everything was a dog-eat-dog world. You learned how to scheme and how to connive to get what you needed out of life. But always in the back of your mind, in the back recesses of your head somewhere, there was something that was calling you to something deeper. Maybe it was a special music that would resonate in the back of your brain and said, that is true beauty. It reminds me of something beautiful and profound. Maybe it was art or something else. All of the other people that were around you never even paid attention to what was going on, but for you, it resonated somewhere deep on the inside. There was something that was calling you ever homeward. You weren't even sure what home was, but you knew that where you were with these gypsies, this isn't my life. I wanted something more. I'm being called to something more. And Kierkegaard said that we are all on that journey of trying to discover our true home. Baptism is that invitation. It's that key that helps us see through to the next world. And so this morning we're going to take a look at a passage where Paul is trying to remind even the readers in the early part of the church. Paul is trying to remind them that this is not your home. This isn't where you were meant to be. This world is not as God meant it to be. God is calling you to beauty, to service, and to gentleness. Maybe a tinged with a sense of humility, but with an abundance of gratitude. So this morning, as we think about our baptism, I also want you to think about your calling. Where are you being called to? Where is your life leading you to? So that when we talk about things like the yard sale or we talk about the breakfast, these are all expressions that the world can't understand. Why would you do something for somebody else? Because my true home says that's where I'm destined to be. Let's open up the Word and let's see if we can figure out where God is calling us to be. Will you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. We use that statement to remind ourselves that we're calling to somewhere deeper. I'm reading today from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. Paul, writing to his friends in Galatia, he says, "But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that He might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as His own children, because God sent the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying out, 'Papa, Father.' Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance." Let us pray. Father God, this morning we are celebrating our new life in Christ. We're celebrating the kingdom, and we're learning more about what that means. Help us, O God, today to learn the language of our new home. Help us to celebrate who we are as a new family, and help us to be the church that you have called us to be. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us celebrate our baptism advantage? The advantage that means. And the question is, what does it mean to be a baptized child in the church? as a community, what is Paul talking about here? Paul is saying to the Galatians that you have been called out of slavery. You've been kidnapped by the law, by the restrictions that say you have to measure up, by all of the standards that say you should measure yourself by your status, by your social conditions, by your economic, by your racial, by your political, by your sexual boundaries. You should identify and compete with one another. And Paul said, that's the slavery of this world. He said, you've been transformed. You've been liberated from that. You've now been given a glimpse of what that new kingdom is going to be like. He said, you're no longer slaves. But if you're no longer slaves, then what are you? You're children. You're children of God. And as children of God, that means that we have to begin to learn. We have to grow. We have to, what Paul says later, we need to mature. We need to learn what the new life is going to be like. What's it like to live in our new home? What's it like to celebrate the kingdom as God gives us? Paul says there's a couple of reasons that I think we need to be celebrating our baptism today. Not just that we go through the motions that we ought to do, but because of what it instills deep within us. There's a couple of things I want us to think about this morning, and we're going to kind of go through a remember your baptism time together, but I want you to think about this as we move forward. What does Paul say is the reason that we want to focus on our baptism? The first thing that Paul says is when you have experienced that baptism, there is a thrill with that adoption spirit. You've been adopted. And Paul said our spirit cries out, Papa, Father, instead of throughout the Old Testament, whenever anybody encountered God in the Old Testament, what did they do? They fell down in terror. God, you have to move away from me or I will be destroyed. You are so awesome and so beyond my comprehension. And Paul said, we've been adopted now. God himself had come through his son, born of a woman, born just like all of us, that we might know him intimately. And he said, when we understand that, when we have that experience, there's a thrill that says we've been adopted. It's hard, I think, for us sometimes to imagine what it's like to go through life without parents, without anybody in your corner, or even growing up and saying, my parents couldn't take care of me, and so I've been abandoned. What's it like to go through and say, I have nowhere to be, and nobody that really cares? Imagine then the spirit of recognizing that God himself comes in and says, I'm choosing you. You are here today because there's a whole bunch of other things that you could be doing. But the Spirit of God is drawing you into his presence. Adoption is a time where you give up one life and you accept a new life, a new inheritance. You see, one of the things that people should know about Christians in our world should be the most joyful, the most excited, the most exuberant, the most forgiving and the most grace-filled because they're exuberant. They've been adopted. They left one life and they've been chosen by God. And Paul says, you are now a child of God. And if you're a child, then you have an inheritance. How joyful do you feel today? Why is it that sometimes there's a little phrase that is used sometimes to define some churches, and God help us that it never defines us? The frozen chosen. Have you ever heard that phrase? Good. Some of you are going, no, I've never heard that one. Good. Make sure you don't. It's the idea of people that have been chosen by God but choose not to do anything with it, to stand in judgment or to look around and try to figure out who's here and who's not here. Instead, God said, you have been adopted. And therefore, that out of that joyful spirit, that exuberance that comes, you live your life every day. Every day is an opportunity to grow and to learn more about the kingdom. We recognize that we have the thrill of an adoption. We also, though, of course, what comes with any family? If you have a family, what happens? They're a challenge, aren't they? Isn't it a challenge sometimes to be in a family? Have you always got along with your brothers and sisters? Have you always got along with the crazy aunt and uncle, with your parents? Families are a challenge because in families you have to recognize that you don't always get it your way. That's what we call a maturing process. When you become part of a family, you carry the family name. When you become part of God's family, you carry the name Christian, right? Derived from Christ. You're part of Christ. You are a reflection of the family. Imagine for a moment that you had been born in a different place, in a different time, with a different last name. Let's say you had been born in New England and your last name was Kennedy. That name carried with it a legacy and an expectation. Or imagine that you grew up years ago, but your last name was Roosevelt. With that name comes expectations, gives certainly some unique opportunities, but also some expectations. There are certain things that come with that name. Whenever you decide to be baptized into the family, there are certain expectations. You reflect the image of Christ no matter where you are. You see this all the time in the papers. If one of the Kennedy family does anything, it makes the news. When people are watching you and you have claimed the name of Christ and you said, I am a Christian, there's certain things that go with that name. How are you doing? Are you excited by the name that has been given to you? You reflect our family values, right? How do you conduct? Every family has a certain set of values that guides them, right? Whether it's, you know, respect for their elders, however you conduct your family life. Maybe you're more relaxed with one another. Maybe your family was more strict. However that dynamic, oftentimes when we do things with newlyweds, there's a sense of how intimate are they, how connected are they, and how free-flowing are they, because that will govern how they live their lives as a young couple. We have family values. As a church, we also have family values. There's also things about how we conduct ourselves. And we want to promote that as a family and learn those values as children and as we mature. Those values of humility, of gratitude, and of service. We all have a role to play. We all are participants. You know, Christianity was never a spectator sport. It was never something that you were supposed to come and sit and hear good music and maybe hear a good message and then say, well, that was great. I had a great time. We ought to do this again next week. It was a motivation to say, now, how do I live as part of that family? And finally, it's to fulfill our mission. What are we as a family drawn to do? To love one another and to love God and to make an impact on our world. Not to hide behind these walls, but to allow all that we do to move out into the world. And finally, we want to recognize that every family gives us the confidence of I am. There's a story that Martin Luther, who in the 15th century, in the 16th century, as he nailed his 95 theses in Wittenberg, that he went through a tremendous persecution by the Catholic Church, and he was oftentimes moving around trying to stay one step ahead of everybody that was out for his head. But every time he got really worried about the future, there was anxiety and stress in his life, he kept reminding himself, I am baptized. You see, sometimes we get into a habit of feeling rejected, that we're off all by ourselves and all alone, and nobody knows and nobody cares, and God has abandoned me. All you have to do is look through the Psalms to recognize that that's a common human condition. But Martin Luther recognized, I am baptized. I am part of something. God hasn't abandoned me, and I haven't abandoned him. And I want you to remember that phrase constantly, Whenever you find yourself under stress, whenever you find yourself abandoned, whenever you say, I don't know where this is going to go, and I don't even see how it's going to work out, I am baptized. I am part of a bigger family. Jesus, when Moses came to the burning bush and he said, what shall I tell them? God said, I am that I am. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When they come to you and say, who are you? I am baptized. I'm part of a bigger community. I'm part of a bigger church. I am part of a family. And we draw together every week to share our stories, our joys, our hurts, and our fears, that we might be and we might make a difference in this world. I want to end with this idea. It was the idea that was kind of, I read this week from Max Lucado. He said, baptism is like a shining jewel. He said, it doesn't have any light within itself, but it reflects light and it reflects God's glory in a multifaceted way. It cleanses, it renews, it restores, it strengthens, it energizes, it refreshes. Baptism is the reminder of how precious you are to God, the extent that God will go for you. And so when you come up this morning, and what we're asking you to do is just come up to each of the little things of water. Take a stone as a reminder. Just carry that stone, put it on your desk, put it at your home as a constant reminder. You know, that God had chosen you, the thrill of knowing that you're part of that family. You're part of that family. God chose you. There are some challenges that we have to face. There's some maturity that we have to grow into. There's some challenges that come with part of being a family. Don't expect it to always be easy. But always celebrate that this is who I am. I'm part of a bigger family. Remember your baptism, the beauty of it that God has in store for you. This morning we're going to celebrate our baptism. We're going to go through our baptism liturgy to remind us of the history and the power of that baptism. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church and are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. We acknowledge what God is doing for us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so to all of you that are gathered here, on behalf of the whole church, here and around the world, I want to ask you personally, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him with as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Okay. Let's try this again, because this is a joyful day, right? I'm sorry, this I will in cutting it for me up here. There are more of you back there than there is up here. All right? Let's try this one again. You go backwards. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior?
I do.
Doesn't that feel better? According to the grace that is given you. It was given to you, folks. Will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?
Amen.
Now, I want to hear a lot on this one. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and aspire to be all that Christ calls us to be in the world?
Amen.
Let us share together. With God's help,
We will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will one another with a community of love and forgiveness, that together we may grow in our trust of God and be found faithful in our service to others. We will pray for each other, that we may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water. Call to our remembrance the grace declared it to us at our baptism. For you have washed away our sins and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, we may share in his final victory. Join us together. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. I invite you, as you feel led, to come up, spend as much time with the water, take a stone, return to your seat, and reflect, God has claimed you. Come as you feel led.